The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
And good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks, and thanks for waking up with us this morning, the 25th day of March already. As we take a look at the market, that we're kind of on a sour note this past week. The Dow ended up down yesterday 59 points, closed at 20,596. That means that it's now positive just 4.2% year-to-date. The NASDAQ was up 11. It closed at 58.28. It still had a bad week. It's down in positive now 8.3% year-to-date. S&P 500, it was down just about 2 points, closed at 23.43. It is now positive 4.7% year-to-date. In some of the other markets, we see natural gas was up 2 cents to close at $3.07. In the oil market, the West Texas Intermediate was up 27 cents, closed at $47.97, while the Brent crude was up 24 cents, closed at $50.80. At the gas futures, they were up a penny to close at $1.60. At the pumps in the Akron area here, anywhere from $1.96 to $2.19 for a gallon of regular unleaded. And in the commodities market, we see that the gold price was up $1.60, closed at $12.51.70 yesterday, while an ounce of silver was up 2 cents, closed at $17.77. The VIX, the volatility index, or the fear gauge, was down 16 cents, closed at $12.96. And in the bond market, we see the 2-year now sits at 1.26%. The 10-year at 2.41, and the 30-year at 3.01%. And, of course, a lot was riding on Washington this week with the health care bill. We see that it's not going to even be brought up for a vote, not enough votes there to get whatever plan they had in place into place. And so, therefore, the markets are a little jittery, but again, really nothing to be concerned about at this point. The economy doing well. The rest of the world's economy is actually doing better than expected at this point in time, too. So as with anything in the markets, it's basically just a living organism that breathes in and out. And, you know, we've had a nice swing up and a soft retreat here over the past week or so. And certainly we'll see what Washington has to give us next week and what and how the markets respond to that. So stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those most common investing mistakes and how not to make them. Stay with us. You're listening to Money Talks on WAKR.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. And, of course, you know, investing is a complicated process. The first thing to understand and to realize is that a lot of people who invest on their own, the biggest enemy that they probably have is themselves, letting emotion get involved with the decision-making process instead of using logic. And as we go through some of these, we're going to take a look at exactly what you need to be aware of. For example, you know, investing, you invest in the markets and you don't have any type of plan or strategy. You basically need to have a plan. For example, if you're investing in the markets, what is your time horizon? Are you trying to put $20,000 or $30,000 into the market to have it grow when you need the money, let's say in a year or 2 years, because that's your down payment on a house. Well, the market's really not the place that you need to put your money. Anything that's really needed 3 years or less does not belong in the market. It belongs someplace safer. But then you have the medium term, let's call that 3 to 10 years, and the long term, which would be any time over that. These are different types of investment strategies, and you need to understand what type of monies you're putting into it. One of the things when we look at investing, particularly as you enter retirement, your investment strategy really has to be different than that of somebody that's 20 or 30 or 40 years old. You have to make sure that your money is diversified well enough that no matter what the markets do, no matter what goes on out there, that you're going to have access to money to be able to live your day-to-day and week-to-week. And so even when the market's down, you have access to money. You're not having to liquidate something at a loss to have money to supplement your income and so forth. When you have a strategy, you understand about diversification. You understand that you need to be in different places. You need to understand that money has to be available if you need it. And so you need some sort of written plan. Another thing to look at is, should you be investing in individual stocks? More and more people over the years, I'm glad to see, have finally realized that there is an inherent risk in owning an individual stock. Now, that's not to say that, you know, in your funny money, in your fun money, there's a particular, maybe a penny biotech stock that you would like to get on board with, because if it goes up, you know, it could really move significantly and you could be part of that upward trend. But you're not putting a lot of money into it. It's not a major part of your portfolio. So therefore, in your main portfolio, you should have mutual funds. You should have exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds, and so forth. Individual stocks, and we can name a few like WorldCom and Enron. You don't know if they're cooking the books. So you just have to be aware of that. And with the markets, you know, as anything with Murphy's Law, you know, expect the unexpected. I mean, that's just the way that things work. Look at 2008. No one really expected that. And look at the way that that ended up. You need to make sure that you avoid one of the major mistakes that a novice or a retail investor will make. The idea to profitable investing is to buy low and sell high, not the other way around. And unfortunately, so many people will get caught up into a hot stock, a fad, a popular company that's been in the news lately. You've heard your friends talking about it. The shoeshine boy talks about it. The taxi cab driver talks about it. Well, by the time you get in, it's too late. You have bought at the top. And so then generally what will happen is we'll see some sort of retracement in the market and the stock goes down. And all of a sudden here again, emotion comes into play and you sell lower than what you bought. That's not a good way to make profits or to get ahead with your investing. So therefore, you know, you have to be aware of this and know that the hype, the fads, those types of things, you really need to stay away from. I can look at an example in the past couple of weeks. Look at the IPO for the stock Snap. And, you know, the hype that day got the stock up higher, and it's been falling every day since then. People now coming to the realization, what is the true value of that particular company, and finding that maybe they made a mistake. Now, certainly that doesn't mean that in the upcoming years it can't turn around and maybe become a success like Facebook. But in many cases, a lot of these IPOs will start out strong and then end up fading away. You have to make sure that you understand the difference between investing and trading. Investing is a long-term process. It is years and years and years. It is slow and consistent. It is slow and steady wins the race. The longer you invest, the less likelihood you are to have losses. Whereas if you trade, which is very similar to investing in Vegas, the more that you trade or speculate, the higher the risk and the more of a chance that you'll actually end up losing. Not only losing that day, but losing your money. Remember all the day traders back in the late 90s? The majority of them lost everything they had. So don't day trade. Also, too much trading. If you look at the statistics, it's been proven again and again, even if you don't think you're day trading, even if you think that you're trying to time the markets or you're trying to work with your gut reaction, maybe you're trading every couple weeks or every month or so, that has been shown that you really lose in the long run. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the statistics, for example, in the past 20 years, if you have missed the best day in the market in the past 20 years, you have a significant loss in your portfolio over the returns that have presented themselves. You miss the best 5 days in the market. Basically, you've lost about 80 to 90% of the returns. It is a very interesting study as to how the markets work, and the best way to take advantage, but the best way to operate within the market structures and how to get those gains, to optimize those gains without having to take unnecessary risk. You have to watch also, for example, the fees and costs. A lot of the brokerage funds out there, the mutual funds, for example, have 12b1 fees in there, which is a added additional cost on top of the front or back end loads. And every time that there's a significant fee, that takes away from your long-term returns. So you have to be very careful. Variable annuities, one that I've talked about over the years many times, have very high fees inside of them. On average today, somewhere between 3 and 4%. That is an unbelievable disadvantage and handicap for anybody that's in them. Yes, the annuity structure gives you tax-deferred growth. Yes, with the variable annuity, in essence, you're using mutual funds inside of the annuity. They're called separate accounts. But if you're having such a hideous fee that's put onto these every year, you're really going to have a difficult time over the long run, even trying to keep pace with the markets as a whole. Because if you're paying a 3% fee, that means that you're 3% in the hole every year, unless you have spectacular funds that are available to you and you do an outstanding job year after year after year of choosing the outperformers. Likelihood is it's not going to happen. So you have to be very careful. Don't make any decisions of investing because of tax avoidance. That is something that can come back and haunt you. Tax laws change. Reasons for investing do not. So therefore, if you're looking at the tax portion of it, which you should, but that should be down on the priority list. Don't make a decision on an investment solely on the tax avoidance part of it. How about returns? You know, there's many people out there that have unrealistic expectations for returns. And you're never going to be happy if you have those unrealistic expectations. A consistent return is something that in many scenarios will beat long-term those volatile portfolios that try and go after the largest possible returns. Because even though you may have a good year, in the bad years, they're going to fall even more. So you have to be realistic in your expectations. You also today cannot just build a portfolio, put it in a drawer, and come back to it 10 years later. That is not the way in today's world that you can structure a portfolio. You have to understand your tolerance for risk. You have to understand, are you conservative? Are you moderate? And structure the portfolio so that you're able to sleep at night. And what happens then when the market retraces and has a 5 or a 10% correction in the market? You have to be able to say, that's just the way they operate. There's nothing unusual about this. On average, you should have 1.1 correction per year. That's a retracement from the highs of 10% or more. So you need to make sure that you don't make any of these common mistakes if you're trying to tend to your portfolio on your own. Make sure that you keep emotion out of it. Make sure that you don't make the novice mistakes. Don't buy high and sell low. Make sure that you watch out for expenses. Make sure that you're not trading too much. Make sure that you understand the keys elements when it comes to diversification within a portfolio. And today, in today's world, diversification anymore does not just mean your investment portfolio. You have to look outside of that today to make sure that you're adequately protected. And I'll just give you a quick example. If you have money in your portfolio, and if you keep money in a bank account, let's say in a CD or money market, there's diversification right there. Because if the market were to fall, let's say it's 2008, and the market were to fall 35, 37%, you certainly don't want to sell your losers at a greater loss just so that you have money that's available to put that new roof on or to live your daily living expenses. By having money that's safe, like say in a CD, that gives you good diversification in this example so that if that roof would need repair during 2008, you can simply liquidate your CD, use the money, and not have to worry about your portfolio. So there is an awful lot of complexities that we have to look at in today's world, in today's design of a portfolio, and understand greatly how each affects the other and how they do work. And if you do that, you can have much better success in the long run, because investing is long-term. Speculation, day trading, that's gambling. And certainly, you don't want to gamble away all the money that you worked very hard to accumulate. You want to be able to enjoy your retirement and all the work that you put into getting there. And with that, we'll be back after these commercial breaks with the joke of the week. Stay with us.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week. And this week it's about Bob and Fred. Now, Bob and Fred have been childhood friends. They grew up in the same neighborhood. And they were absolutely big baseball fanatics. Bob was a pitcher. Fred was a catcher. And they played Little League together. They played together in high school. They played together in college. Both were good enough that they went to the pros and played for numerous years in the pro league. Well, they're both 90 years old now. Fred's not doing too well. He's in the hospital, and he's on his deathbed. Of course, Bob is there by his side. And he says to Fred, "Fred, you got to do me a favor." He goes, "When you pass on to the great beyond, because you need to get back in touch with me and let me know if there's baseball in heaven." Well, Fred agrees. He said, "I'll be sure and do that." And that night, Fred passes away. And about a week later, Bob is in his bedroom getting ready for the day. And all of a sudden, he hears,
"Bob, Bob, it's Fred."
Oh my gosh, Bob can't believe it. Fred finally got back in touch with them. And he's so excited. And he said, "Well, Fred, is there baseball in heaven?" Fred tells him, "Well," he goes, "I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which would you like first?" Well, Bob just can't contain his excitement. He says, "Give me the good news." Fred says, "Bob, there's baseball in heaven." Oh my gosh, Bob is just so elated. He can't believe it. There's baseball in heaven. How can it get any better? "Wait a minute. Fred, what's the bad news?" "Well, Bob, you're starting pitcher on Saturday." Yes. But they both had good lives. Last week on the show, I mentioned to you that there was going to be a big announcement this week. Well, it's time for that announcement. After 13 and a half years, I will not be doing the show anymore. This is my last one. There was a lot that went into this decision, but I believe I've made the right one. There are only so many hours in a day, and this show took a lot of time to produce every single week. I took this responsibility seriously and made sure that it met my standards every week. We all strive to live a balanced life, and with the new grandson, who I enjoy tremendously, and the continual complexities of the investment world, I need to change a few things. I'm not retiring or anything else. It had to do with marketing in today's complex environment and how I can best use my time and money to benefit and promote my business and have a balanced life. This is my decision. Nothing happened at the station. In fact, everyone here is like family. I have enjoyed doing the show very much, and I can only thank all those that have helped and been part of my success here. People like, when I started out, Bob Allen and Bobby Horvath, Sandy, Bryce, Jonathan, DJ, Tyler, and Ben. People like Tom Mandel, who owns the station, who gave me the opportunity to be with you the last 13 and a half years. Dominic Rizzo, Ray Horner, Ed Esposito have all been great people here at the station. Like I said, like family. I've enjoyed every one of them. I've enjoyed the opportunity to get to know a lot about you folks. And you've gotten to know a lot about me every week, too. It has been a tough decision. It has been a long time. But it is something that I need to do. Just about reached 700 shows. In fact, we're going to be too short of 700 shows. We've given out over $7,000 worth of Bob Evans cards over the last 13 and a half years. We've talked about an awful lot of different topics that I hope each and every one of you have gotten something out of. We talked about mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, how market corrections work, how to protect yourself with passwords, how variable annuities work, how fixed indexed annuities work, bank protection through the FDIC, investing mistakes, things to watch out for, the rules of 72 and of 115, how Washington and politics greatly influence our investments, the original Dow stocks, what indexes are, how closed-end funds work, different types of risk, the cause all decisions involve some type of risk, how many meetings a year the FOMC hold, what rates they actually control, how prime rate works, what diversification is, what use collectibles have in a portfolio, how IRAs work, 401ks, the difference of Roth and traditional IRAs, an understanding of how the markets operate. These are just a few of the many topics that we covered over the last 13 and a half years. In this new world, part of what I'll be doing, the website, our website, ProfessorMoney.com, is up to date with the last couple months of shows. Starting May 1st, I will be putting a recorded show on every month, and hopefully we'll work to the point where I can put one on every week. They will be 8 to 12 minutes in length, give you a market overview and a financial lesson, much like we've done here on the show. We won't be telling a joke or having a contest, but a lot of the same information that you've heard on the show. We will post that on our website under the radio shows tab so that you will be able to hear every week if you go there a lesson. And again, that starts May the 1st. We're going to have a show a month, and hopefully in the next few months we'll be able to have a show a week. But this will at least keep you up to date and engaged. We're going to set up a corporate Facebook page, and we're also going to have a YouTube channel, of which hopefully sometime later this summer, early fall, we'll have up with some timely videos and instructional videos concerning the investment world and the different way that things operate and work out there. So like I said, we're not going away. I'm not retiring or anything else. It's just a change. Things change in the world, and this is one that there was, like I said, a lot of thought, a lot of conversation with individuals went into this, and I think it's the right move. I really hate leaving the radio show, but I think it's in our best interest. Myself and what we do for people, what is it that I can do for you? Well, number one, and one of the most important things, is that I am a fiduciary to our clients. That means that your best interest comes first. The Department of Labor's fiduciary bill, which was supposed to go into place April 10th, I don't know what's going to go on with that at this point, had to do with people acting as a fiduciary for IRA accounts. I don't particularly agree with the DOL's ruling. Some of the complicated areas that are in there, I do believe that everybody should act as a fiduciary, though. Acting in people's best interest is best for everybody. I can give people a second opinion. If you're working with somebody and you're just not sure, if you have some ideas, need a second opinion, give us a call. My main job is, with a thorough understanding of my client, I'm able to design a portfolio to meet their needs for today and tomorrow. I'm able to manage their portfolio with what belongs in there according to their risk tolerance, to understand how much income is needed and when you should start collecting Social Security. Each household is different, and so we have to look at different things. What's the economic environment telling us? Where are interest rates? Are we in an overpriced or underpriced market? Are we looking ahead at a recession or an expansion? What about taxes? And what is tax harvesting? How do you defer taxes? How do you avoid taxes legally? What about your heirs and beneficiaries? What about fees and costs? Now, a person, we're a person that can offer somebody to bounce financial ideas off of. So certainly these are some of the things that we can offer if you want to come work with us as your financial advisor. So this was the big news. Wanted to share it with everybody. And we're going to go ahead and get to the phone lines for the Money Talks quiz of the week. This is going to be the easiest quiz we've ever had. So give us a call, 330-370-1590. That's 330-370-1590. We're going to take caller number 4, and we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And it looks like we have Eileen as our contestant today. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Richard.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I just wanted to thank you for all the years of your service and knowledge for all of us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And like I said, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I'm just not going to be doing the show anymore. But everyone is welcome to, like I said, come to our website. I'll be putting on a show there starting out once a month, and then I'm going to try and get it down to once a week.
Right.
And you'll be able to get some information there if you so desire. But like I said, you're our last caller, and this is going to be the easiest contest you've ever had.
Okay.
All righty. Are you ready?
Yes.
You list your 4 children on your savings account as a POD, payable on death. How much FDIC insurance do you have on that account, Eileen? Do you have $100,000, $250,000, $500,000, $1 million, or $1.25 million? Which one do you think?
The first one.
100,000?
Yes.
I would not go with that answer. You want to try another?
I'm not really sure.
Go ahead and pick one.
A second one.
250?
Yes.
I would not go with that answer either.
Third one?
500?
Yes.
That's not an answer I would pick either. How about the next one?
Okay.
1 million?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And the reason for that is originally up until 2008, it was $100,000 of coverage through the FDIC. During 2008, they bumped it up to $250,000, and then they made it permanent. Now, everyone that you add on as a beneficiary gets that $250,000 of protection. So with 4 children listed, in reality, you have a total of $1 million that is protected by FDIC insurance.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
So we're going to send you out your breakfast card for Bob Evans, and you're going to be the last contestant on the Money Talks contest.
Isn't
How about
that something?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Going to go down in the annals of history. How about that?
Right.
Well, Eileen, I want to thank you very much for being a loyal listener, and I've enjoyed talking to you over the years.
Yes, I've really enjoyed the show.
Well, thank you so much again. And you have a wonderful weekend.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. And as we wrap up, some of the things that I wanted to point out just as some basic rules when it comes to money and investing. First, live below your means. That is probably one of the keys that is very difficult to do today with advertising and, you know, be it on Facebook and newspapers and television and radio and everything else. They always want you to have the biggest, the best. You have to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths. You just, it's hard. It's hard to live below your means. But by living below your means, financially, it's the best thing that you can do. It keeps you solvent. It keeps you, with the next one that I want to say, is to keep you out of debt. Stay out of debt. That is, I think, one of the biggest mistakes that the young people make. They get these new shiny credit cards. They think it's free money till they realize that it's not. And with the interest rates being what they are today, legal loan sharps, they could be in debt for the next 20, 30, 40 years or the rest of their life, which many of them are. So live below your means. Stay out of debt. Start saving early. The earlier you start saving, the more money you will have. Compound interest is a magical thing. And I think with the first couple here that I've mentioned, you know, if you're lucky enough to get to that point in your life, that is that all of a sudden you realize that having money in the bank is worth so much more than buying that material thing. The material thing that can give you such joy for an hour, a day, a week, a month, but then quickly fades away. The joy of being able to have money put away for future is much more rewarding than the material item that in a couple of years you're probably going to sell at a garage sale. Find a good advisor. He or she is worth their weight in gold. But it has to be a good one. Someone that you can trust. Someone that looks out for your best interest as a fiduciary. Someone that will make sure that you accomplish your goals. Stay diversified. Diversification has never been more important than it is today. Make sure that you understand that nothing is 100% your thing. How many people have lost out because they thought it was a sure thing? It's not. Give back. Helping other people because of your good fortunes is extremely rewarding to everybody involved, including yourself. Make sure, if you're still working, that you get all the free money from your 401k. That's the matching portion. If they're going to match up to 6%, make sure that you get the full 6%. Have a Roth IRA. They are certainly something that are very important in today's diversification and help in your strategy. Keep emotion out of those decisions. Emotions usually lead to bad mistakes, so you don't want to do that. Keeping emotion out of it is going to help you to keep it logical. Always have a game plan if you're doing it yourself, or make sure that you communicate with your advisor so that you're both on the same page, so that they can make sure. That's one of the good things that an advisor can do. They can keep the emotion out of it. They can keep it logically. They can make sure that mistakes aren't made. These are some of the things that a good advisor can do. And lastly, enjoy life. Find something that inspires you, that makes sure that gives you a reason to get out of bed in the morning. It makes sure that you have a zest for life. And it's amazing the things that can be accomplished when something inspires you to do it. And as we've all known, if you work at something that you enjoy tremendously, it's not work. So find something that inspires you. Whether you're working and that inspires you, or when you're older and retired, find something that inspires you, be it a hobby, be it a place to volunteer, be it helping others in some way, something that inspires you. So these are some of the things, some of the lessons that I wanted to share for the last time. I think that they're important. And I think, like Susie Orman said, that we've read several times on the show about counting your blessings. The last couple paragraphs that she says, well, basically, to be able to reap the true rewards gathered along that path, that we have to remove judgment from our lives. Stop judging others, ourselves and others based on bank accounts, material possessions, politics, religion, race, or sexual preference. There is nothing blessed in making others feel less than. Blessings in life truly come when you make others shine by the brightness of your own thoughts, words, and actions. Then and only then will you be truly wealthy. Well, another show has come to an end, and it has been a great pleasure not only to share the past hour with you, but the last 13 and a half years. We always welcome the opportunity at Capital Financial Group to work with you as your personal financial advisor. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks for having us in today, and it has been an honor and a pleasure to come into your homes the last 13 and a half years. I won't be on Saturday mornings anymore, but my advice is still available. Call me. God bless to you all. Have a great day.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, President of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.